ladies. Welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cooking Podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So today what I thought I would do, what I thought would be fun, would be to share some recent recent favorites with y'all. And just share some things that I've been really enjoying, that I've been having fun with recently, share some recent experiences with y'all, what I've been up to. And yeah, I always enjoy these kind of things from other people. Granted, they're usually videos, but hopefully this will still be enjoyable to listen to. I might try and like put up a post of the things that I'm talking about on Instagram and things like that. But yeah, I always enjoy hearing what people have been really into, what they've been interested in, what they've been up to. And so I thought I would try it and try and share that with you guys. So I'm not going to really go in any particular order here. I'm not even going to lay out like a thing for myself, because I know I'll probably just end up forgetting something that I mentioned, and then yeah, so I'm just gonna kind of go at random and just share what comes to mind for me with you guys. But it's gonna be, you know, along the lines of everything else of this podcast, kind of spiritual related, witchy related, magical things, that kind of thing. So I'm gonna start with books. So some of the books that I have been enjoying recently have been tarot books. And so if you've been listening along, or, you know, we've talked to each other recently or whatever, then you probably know that I am going to be teaching a tarot class. And so right now what I'm doing is compiling a lot of different resources on it, especially resources that are good for beginners or novices to, you know, get into tarot. And basically I'm finding resources and gathering resources that make tarot easy to understand, but without kind of making it too super fluffy. So I don't really have an issue with cards, or, you know, even tarot, that are finger quotes fluffy, but some people do. The only issue I have with things that tend to make things, finger quotes, fluffy, is that they also have this tendency to kind of try and sugarcoat cards that can give us indications of, you know, difficult things, or things that we need to be aware of that might be challenging, or, you know, things like that. Like, I find that sometimes some decks will almost try and make everything like hunky-dory all the time, and oh, there's nothing ever, you know, sad or challenging or hard. And I don't really find that that gives a particularly good reading when you have that kind of approach, because people need help with things that are hard, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with needing help, or you know, seeking guidance when you feel kind of lost or confused. And I think kind of trying to sugarcoat and suggest that, you know, oh, these bad things don't happen, or sad, you know, we never feel sad or bad or whatever. It's like we do feel like that sometimes, you know. Everyone feels like that sometimes. Everyone feels sad, mad, bad, whatever, sometimes. And that's a human thing. And I don't think that, like, ignoring that or trying to go around it and trying to like hide it, basically, or just not acknowledge it, is particularly helpful. So some books, some like starter books, will kind of do this a little bit, or they go to another angle, which is like giving, you know, the really basic kind of little white book descriptions of things. And I don't really like that either, because I don't find that they're particularly, they're not, for one, they're not really that modern. So it's like, you know, how tarot would have been read even 50 years ago versus now. What am I trying to say? Just that little white books are quite outdated, I find. And also that something that I don't like is that, you know, with tarot, it's the traditional decks too, they're very gendered, they're very also normative and kind of like, this is what this person does, and this is what this person does, and this is what this looks like, and this is what a family unit looks like, and this is what a woman does, and this is what a man does, and etc, etc, and it's just, I'm bored of it, I'm tired of it, no, thank you, no, we don't need it. I mean, I understand the whole, you know, I understand where it's coming from, I understand the tarot, but I understand the history of tarot and everything, and I really think that we've made, you know, big strides and big changes in terms of looking at gender, looking at sexuality, looking at, you know, what is, you know, finger quotes, normal, and kind of breaking down the idea that anything is normal. And I mean, we haven't got there yet, but we're working on it. And so some things can be really outdated. And so I'm looking for resources that kind of help to bring it into like the modern day, look at it from like different perspectives of what could this mean? What could this mean? You know, for example, looking at queens don't have to be a woman. A king doesn't have to be a man. The emperor doesn't have to be a man. The empress doesn't have to be a woman. You know, there's space for everything to be fluid. And I'm trying to find writers and resources that kind of like explain that and go into it, and yeah, that kind of aren't afraid to delve into that. So having said that, some of my favorite books at the moment are 1, 78 Degrees of Wisdom by Rachel Pollack. This is a really big tarot book, and it's, I don't know when the latest edition was published, but it's not a super recent one. Yeah, Rachel Pollack is a big voice, I guess you could say, in the tarot community. And I love that book. That is the book that I recommend to everyone. When I first tried to read it, I tried to read it even a couple years ago, and it was too dense for me then. Like, it was too much. So it's not really a beginner book, I wouldn't say. I mean, if you're a beginner and a novice, I think you could pick it up and find it interesting, but it might be a little bit too much right at first. But I think either, you know, if you like a challenge, go for it, or if you're a little bit more experienced. Hi, Pete. I just saw, we have a spirit in our house that hangs around. And I just saw him. he kind of surprised me. Anyway, yeah, if you like a bit more of a challenge, or if you're a little bit more experienced, then I really like 78 Degrees of Wisdom. It really goes in depth into every card, especially the majors, a little bit less on the minors, but not like the usual less where it's like half a page, you know, and it's very generic. Like, she really delves deep into the meaning of everything, and looks at all the symbols on every card, and what does this mean, and what, you know, what's the potential meaning of this. And the one thing that I really like with her work, and in that book in particular, is at the back she has a section on reading for other people, which I think is always really helpful and useful. She also has a section with spreads, and she does a so I saw Pete before the spirit in our house, and then I just heard that he was going to look at our chicken. Let me explain that in a second. All right, let me get through the thing with Rachel Pollack first. All right, so yeah, so she has a spread in the back. This is really all over the place, sorry. She has a spread in the back that is basically a reworking of the Celtic cross. And she talks about the fact that she doesn't super like the Celtic cross, which is one of the main spreads that you'll see in a lot of Little White books. It's really common for, you know, it to be the big spread that is recommended for beginners. But I tend to agree with Rachel here, and I don't super like the Celtic cross either. It's not particularly intuitive to me, and it, like, I always forget what the positions are. I'm like, I don't remember what this is. But basically she changes the Celtic cross a little bit and like shifts it around, so it's some of the same positions, but then she changes other things to be more fitting. So she has like a cross at the top, which is like the what's going on right now. It kind of breaks that down a little bit better. And then you look at the basis, which is like what's happened in the past that's led up to this. The work, which is like what needs to be worked on, what we're working on right now. And then the outcome, or the possible outcome, which you probably recognize from the cut across. But then also the result. So it's like, from the outcome, what's the result of that? Like, what do we take from that? What do we do with it? And it's basically a path. And she says, what you can do then is if you look at that path and you say, not super sure about this part, don't really like this bit, what else can I do? What other path can I take? And then you can keep drawing cards and go down, you know, look at different paths. Well, what if I take this basic information but change it and do something else? Like, what's it going to look like then? And I really like that. So that's one of the books that I recommend. I'm going to tell you the chicken story real quick. So we have chickens, first of all, and one of our chickens, her name is Ditto, and she's a bantam, a red kachin. She's our baby. We love her. She's so spoiled. Anyway, she is our last bantam, and the rest of our chickens, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 other hens, and then 2 roosters, one of whom was an accidental rooster. We thought he was a hen, and then he turned out not to be a hen, and by then we'd already gotten a rooster to protect them, so we ended up with 2 roosters. They get on and it's completely fine, so it's whatever. They sometimes will posture at each other a little bit, like, I'm the boss, I'm the boss, but like they won't fight with each other, and they don't, you know, they don't go after each other. Anyway, because Ditto was our last bantam, we had noticed that she was seeming a little bit nervous. And then the other day I went out there and she had blood on her face, and like a wound on her comb, which is that top part on the chicken's head, the like little red bit, that's the comb. Anyway, so she's bleeding and I'm looking at her like, oh my god, what happened? So I scooped her up, brought her inside, put her in our bathroom and kind of cleaned her up and put like, you know, paper down for her and everything, and yeah, wanted to separate her from the flock basically, because they were pretty much all going for her, even the rhesus, and the rhesus would usually leave her alone. And we have our other hens. We have one hen who is super skittish and super nervous, like she's I don't know how I describe her. Her head is just fluff and fear. That's it. That's all that's in there. She's not particularly bright and she's scared of everything. And then the others are, you know, they've kind of got their own dynamic, but for some reason Ditto just has become like, we're going to pick on her now. So we separated them. And actually we are going to we found a new home for our regular sized chickens, because they won't get on anymore, and I don't want it to be that they're scared, that Ditto and Ruby, who is the really skittish chicken that we have, I don't want them to be scared and be getting attacked or being kind of chased off, because we noticed that like Ruby is being chased off from the food. So we found a new home for three of the hens and the two roosters. We're going to keep Ruby, keep Ditto, and then we're going to add some new bantams and a bantam rooster to the flock, which is going to be adorable. Look at bantam rooster, look up a video, they're so freaking cute, and when they crow it's like woo woo woo, it's so cute. Anyway, hopefully that will like resolve the issue, because then they'll be able to size with each other, and Ruby won't mess with them anyway because she's too scared of everything. Like, pretty sure she thinks she's the smallest in there, even though she's not. So yeah, anyway, Ditto is currently in our bathroom, making a mess. Chickens make the biggest mess in the world. She's like the size of a melon, like a small melon, like a cantaloupe, right? But she makes so much mess. It's unbelievably messy in there. We have like puppy pads down and everything. She's got food and water, and she's just She rules the roost in there. She's decided that's her room. If you go in there, you must take treats. And if you don't, she's going to stare at you. And then she's going to inspect every inch of your hands, looking for what you obviously should have taken in there. And then you feel terrible because you don't have anything. It's so funny. She's laid 2 eggs so far. So she's happy. She's got a little nest. And she's got a nest behind the bath, because there's like a space behind our bath against the wall, because we've got like a standing clawfoot tub. And she's got a nest behind there. So whenever you go in there to the bathroom, you hear this like tap, 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 tap. And then she comes out and looks at you. Oh my God. But anyway, having a chicken in the house is kind of weird, right? So that's what Pete, who is the spirit in our house, that's what he was looking at. And I just saw him, like, I saw him come out of the room before. And I didn't put 2 and 2 together that that's where he was. I just saw him come around the corner and it kind of surprised me. And then I was like, had heard this thing of like, I was looking at your chicken, like, why do you have a chicken in your house? But she's going to be going back outside, you know, on, I think we're going to be taking the chickens to their new home on Saturday night or Sunday, and then she'll be going back out into the coop with Ruby. So yeah, having a house chicken isn't really a long-term thing for us. I do think they should be outside where they can be in nature. That's my personal thing. I know some people have house chickens, and that's, you know, you do you. That's, I'm not judging, but it's not really viable for us just because it is so incredibly messy. I, you know, chickens poop a lot. That's all there is to say. But she is a joy to have in the house because she's so funny. Like, I just love her. Also, she's named after Beth Ditto. If you don't know who that is, she's a singer. She was in the band The Gossip. And then I think she did solo stuff. And then one time I posted a picture of Ditto on Facebook. Not Facebook, Instagram, and tagged Beth Ditto in it, and she saw it. I was like, this has made my life that I have a chicken named after me, because Beth Ditto is from Arkansas. So anyway, me and Charles had a huge fangirl moment there, because we both love Beth Ditto, and she has now seen our chicken, who is named after her. But anyway, so that's what happened there. I just had to tell that story. When you have a spirit and it's confused by, they're confused by a chicken. There you go. Anyway, other books that I'm enjoying. So I am liking Kitchen Table Tarot by, I don't know where I've put my copy now, and I can't remember the name of the lady, which is terrible. I should have got it before I started this. But something Synova. I want to say Cynthia, but I don't think it's that. I'm sorry, it's definitely Synova, but I'm really loving that too. It's very modern, and it's not too heavy. Like, that I would say is a good beginner book, a good novice, you know, level book, because it's modern and it brings things into the modern world. I think, like, she talks about the Three of Cups, and it's like, this is the, you know, you get around with your girlfriends and you, like, have a glass of wine and you have that, like, connection, and I really enjoy that. Like, that's a good way to put that card in kind of modern terms, you know. So that book I'm really enjoying. She also breaks everything down by the numbers. So she's talking about, like, this is what the number 5 is generally, and then we look at all the 5s and how does that theme apply to all of them. So, like, I think 5 is conflict or challenge. I tend to read 5s as change, just because they come after 4, which is like the stability of the square. But yeah, so she talks about that as a theme generally, and then she talks about it in each card. And it's, yeah, I love that book. It's really interesting. She has another book called Tarot Elements, which I haven't got, but based on Kitchen Table Tarot. Really love it, highly recommend it. Then the next one that I've been reading is Tarot for Life, which is by Paul Quinn. Wow, should have written these names down. Paul, yeah, I'm gonna say it. I think it's Paul Quinn. I like it because I like getting different perspectives. A lot of the tarot books that I have like seen and read have been written by women, so it's nice to have someone who identifies as a man and read their perspective. Not that really gender comes into it at all from either perspective, and it doesn't seem to really affect how they write about it in terms of there's no bias or like, you know, anything like that, which goes back to that gender fluidity thing that I was talking about earlier. But I like having different perspectives. I really like his because it's very down to earth. It's very approachable. Again, it's very modern. So the Kitchen Table Tarot is the newest one of all of them. I think Tarot for Life is like the middle one. And it's actually, the foreword is written by Rachel Pollack. And then I think 78 Degrees of Wisdom is the oldest one. Pretty sure. But I'm really enjoying all of them. So I can definitely recommend those for beginners or novices in tarot. So I'm going to move on to some decks now. Decks that I have been enjoying. I have been really, really enjoying the Halloween Tarot by Kipling West. It's so cute. I know, you know, most people have seen it. A lot of people have it if you like tarot. And I finally got a copy. I've wanted that deck for years and years, and I don't know why I've never bought it. But I finally got it, and it is so cute and so sweet. Like, it, the way it feels, it makes me feel like I'm going to cry. But, like, cry in the way that you cry when you are, you know, you see a really good friend and you just feel so, like, held by them and just, I don't know what it is. It's like a very tender feeling, that deck. And it does a really good job. So it's a Rider Waite-Smith clone, which just means it's based on that same system. And they do a really good job of translating it whilst also making it, you know, very unique to itself. So it's quite campy. It's quite, like the lovers is Dracula, I think, coming in the window and like Dracula's bride in the bed, I'm pretty sure. And like the Hierophant is a mummy, and so there's all this stuff, and it's just like, it's fun and it's really sweet, but it also does really good readings. It reads really well. So yeah, getting in the spirit for Halloween, I'm going to be using that or having it on hand at the shop when I'm doing readings. You know, it's available for readings through my private readings as well. So loved that deck, super into it, really, really good. Another one that I've been really enjoying is the Art History Tarot for Past Lives, which is by Red Orchid Publishing. You can find them on Instagram. So that is an indie deck. And what I really, really enjoy about this is it's very unique. So it's made like a regular tarot in a sense that it's, you know, 78 cards. They all correspond to a card from the tarot. But it's made specifically to read past lives. So every card also has like a place associated with it, or some kind of like condition or something, or a time, place, bleh, a time period. And it comes with the guidebook for it, actually, just by itself. It's awesome. I love it. It's really interesting. It has, you know, interpretations for how you can read it just as a tarot card, but also interpretations of, you know, if you pull this, what time, when is it, what's going on, what could have been in this past life that we're now dealing with. It has spreads, and then there's also a workbook, which is like 21 days to understanding your past lives, which is a big workbook, and it's so in depth. I'm really, really enjoying it. I will say it's very dense. It's not easy to read in a sense of like, it just, I don't know, it doesn't flow to me yet. Like, I have to read the guidebook a lot of the time. But having said that, when I did a reading for myself, I was like, okay, yeah, I really, I knew what it was immediately. And it wasn't something that I had ever really thought about before, but it made complete sense for me. It's also very serious. It's not really a light deck. It tends to go quite shadowy, and I think that's because a lot of past life stuff, if we're still dealing with it, then it hasn't been probably resolved yet, in which case it's probably more shadowy type of stuff, you know, dealing with the things that happened in that life that were difficult that now we're trying to resolve or we're healing or all that kind of stuff. So it's not a light deck by any means. But if you're interested in past lives, it's awesome. I've done readings, one for myself, some for friends too. If you're interested in shadow work as well, I think it would be a really good deck to use for that. So it's a great combination of, I wouldn't really call it an oracle, because it is still very much a tarot, but it's an interesting take on tarot and an interesting way to use tarot. So I highly recommend that one. It's also a really good price for an indie deck. So yeah, and it was shipped really quickly, so all of that was really good. I really liked it. Love the packaging, love the colouring, love the cardstock, it's all great. And then the final deck that I want to talk about is the Divine Feather Oracle. So that is actually is an oracle deck. And I really like it because it, again, it's different and it's interesting. So this is a mass marketed deck, mass published. I can't remember who publishes it. I want to say Rockfall, don't think it is. No, it can't be Rockfall. US Games, I think. Pretty sure it's US Games. And it's, so on the back of every card is a different feather. And then so when you're shuffling it, it doesn't have backs where you don't know what it is, but you're basically just drawn to the feather. So you know, you ask a question of what do I need, and then you're drawn to whichever feather, and you pull it, and then it has the bird on the back in, I think it's like watercolor painted, and then the meaning of it. And it was really funny when I finally got my copy, because the one that came up for me first was the pelican. And if you might not know this about me, but I am scared of pelicans. Chels knows this about me and uses it to pick on me mercilessly. I'm very scared of pelicans. Mostly their mouths are just terrifying to me, and they're just, oh, every, God, there's this picture of like three of them like trying to, I don't know what they're doing, it's like they're all trying to grab a fish or something, and they're, oh God, it's like a nightmare. And Chels knows this, and she just shows it to me randomly. You know, I have like a phobia of them. I'm just, they make me, I don't know what it is, they just get me. And so I pulled that, turn it over, and I'm like, yeah, course. It's like playing with me, because yeah, it's I could believe it, because I believe it, but like, for just to pull that card, like, it's a pretty big deck, and I pulled the pelican, like, so, really. So I really like that. It's quite, I don't know, it's got an interesting feel to it. Like, originally I really liked it because, like, I'd seen some sample cards of it at work, and it has the vulture in it, and I love vultures, and I have such a soft spot for them. I think they're so cute. And I know people think that's really weird, but I just really like vultures. And actually England doesn't have vultures, so when I moved to America and I was seeing, you know, we have a lot of vultures where I am, so it's like, whoa, they're amazing, I love seeing them. And they just have a very sweet energy to me. Like, I don't get the fear of them at all. Like, I don't know, I think they're beautiful, and they're super cute, and they're funny, and I just really like them. But anyway, that was what endeared me to it originally, was that it had the vulture card in the deck. So those are the decks that I want to recommend. I also want to give a quick shout out, a quick plug, I guess, for my own deck. So three published oracle decks now. So I have, you know, the Sacred Cocoon, which was my first deck, the Divine Portal, which was my second deck, and the Vitae Oracle, which the second edition is out now. So I'm really, really enjoying it. It's available at the shop, and you can pre-order it in the Etsy shop. So if you go by the Four of Wands, she has a limited amount of them at the moment in stock, and you can get it through my Etsy, pre-order it. It has free shipping within the US, so yeah, there's that. Actually, all the decks do. Everything in my shop now, if it's over $35, has free US shipping. But I'm really excited about it. So what I did for the second edition, which is the Whispers of Nature edition, was I, rather than have the backs be just an image, instead I put the meanings of every card on the back. So it's one of those decks that has the image on the front and the like a keyword for it. And then on the back, the meaning of the card, which means you don't need a guide for it. And we did a sage green background for the back, which Chelsea actually came up with that for me. Originally it was like a dusty purple, but I didn't no, originally it was grey, and then it was like a dusty purple, and I didn't really like either one super well, so she helped me figure that out. And I just really like it. It goes really well with it. I really enjoy it. If you don't know, the premise of that deck is that I took public domain photography images and I drew over the top of them, like I drew fairies and nature spirits over the top. So it's a collaboration with, specifically with fairy, with nature spirits, with nature in general. And I really like it. It feels quite different than the Sacred Cocoon and the Divine Portal, because those are very abstract and this is much more figurative in a sense. I've heard that it's very earthy. Yeah, so I like it. Please do check it out if you're interested. And then one more thing is that I'm currently working on a tarot deck, which is thusly unnamed. So I was working on another deck and I feel like I need to take a step back from that. I need to think about it some more before I really, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that one. But anyway, it's on the back burner for now. But I am creating a new deck, a new tarot deck, which is actually right now a tarot and oracle combined. So what it's going to be is the major arcana of the tarot and then cards that don't fit in the tarot and are oracle. So that it's like a mix of both, basically. I don't know if that's... I haven't seen another deck like that, I don't think. I mean, like, the Cosmos Tarot is and Oracle is kind of similar, because they have two, when you buy it, you get, like, the full Major Arcana and then an Oracle deck as well, but this is going to come all in one thing, so it's going to be Tarot and Oracle, and I am basically for this doing the same method as my Spirit Guide portraits, which is that I take public domain images and I make a collage with different images to reflect something, and then I'm like putting a watercolor, making it watercolor, and then that's how I'm doing it. So I'm really enjoying it. You can see on my Instagram what I'm making, and I'm sharing different cards and why I wanted to make different cards in different ways. Specifically, it is I really wanted to include. I wanted to stretch the things of tarot. So going back to what I was saying earlier with like those gender roles and kind of expectations, I really wanted to change that and shift that and make it, you know, show something different. There's a lot of decks that are doing that now, and I love that, and I really wanted to do that too, because I know for me and Chels, gender is kind of you know, it's fluid, and I wanted to show that more. So like, I really wanted to stretch the ideas of what is represented by the different cards, and who can, you know, what those different cards can look like. I wanted to choose a very androgynous, like, the person that I chose for the Empress is quite androgynous, and they have, I guess what you could call, like, the say similar attributes to the Empress of, like, having flowers and having that quite feminine look, but they also look very androgynous. They don't have that, you know, typical, finger quotes, feminine body or whatever. Like, I really didn't want to have a pregnant Empress. The Emperor, which I haven't shared yet, I love, I love that Emperor, but it's very different than the, kind of, old Emperor. I'll leave that until I can share that. It's just, I'm really enjoying it. I'm changing it, and I'm really trying to change it, have more body diversity, more diversity of, you know, not all white people, like, not all, and not have, like, the lovers is a it's not a straight couple. That's one thing as a queer person that I hate in tarot. It's like, Do they have to always be straight? Like, why is this a thing? Like, why is it always, you know, oh, this is a man, this is a woman? Like, I don't know. That really bothers me and I don't like it. So I really wanted to change that and shift it. I just wanted to make it out. I've been wanting to make a tarot deck for quite a while now. I was making another one, but I've kind of changed tracks a bit. And so I'm really excited for this one. I don't know exactly when it's going to be finished because I don't really know how many cards are going to be in the oracle portion. I'm basically just making them until it feels right or until my guides kind of go, hey, okay, it's done now. And then it'll be done. So I can't really say exactly when it's going to be out, but for me, I work quite quickly once I have an idea and I'm getting it into fruition, so I can't imagine it's going to be that long, but I will keep you updated on that. It's really exciting. I really love making decks. I love hearing what you'll think about the decks that I've already made, and I'm glad you're enjoying this one that I'm making right now. So, yeah. But I'm going to go to the ad break now, and then when I come back, I'm going to talk about a few things that are not items, really, that have been, well, maybe a few more things, items-wise, and then I'm going to talk about some, like, experiences and fun things that I've been doing recently. Okay. A little bit more now about items, things that I've been enjoying recently, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about experiences that I've had that I have also enjoyed recently. So speaking of things, so this actually kind of ties into the experiences a little bit, but this past week I ended up staying with some friends for a couple of days because Chelsea was out of town with a work thing. And I could have gone with her, but I would have ended up just being in the hotel. So I decided to stay with some friends. They very, very graciously offered for me to stay with them, and I really appreciated that. So I ended up staying with them for a couple of days until Chelsea got back. So on one of the days, one of our friends came over as well, Annabelle, and we got talking about beauty and makeup and things like that, and it came out that I had never been to Ulta, which I don't know if Ulta is a thing outside of the US, but it's here. Ulta is basically like a big makeup beauty shop. Like, they do makeup, hair stuff, skin stuff, all of that kind of thing. It's like a bunch of different makeup counters all together. And they have testers there, you can go and try things, and it's fun. And I had never been, because I don't wear makeup very often, and for two, I haven't bought makeup in, I don't even know how long. Like, the last thing I remember buying was a Lush eyeshadow, probably the year before I moved to America, which would have been 2015. I don't buy makeup very often, anyway, it came out that I had never been there, and they were like, how? So we ended up going, and they were like, oh, it's gonna be super fun because you can try things on, and yeah, that was really fun, like getting to like play with the testers and look at different things on, especially because a lot of the makeup there is quite expensive. Like, and I know nothing about makeup. I know literally almost nothing at all about makeup. So I know it's not the most expensive, but it's not cheap. You don't have to buy it to see what it looks like, you know, which I really like. Like, you could try it on and try eyeshadow and try lipsticks and all of that kind of thing. And I ended up getting a couple things. So I got a eyeshadow palette by Too Faced, which is the, I think, Goals palette. Tara had it, who was the friend that I was staying with, and I was really, like, every time she came to her, I was like, oh my god, your eyes look awesome. And she was telling me it's that palette. Annabelle also got that palette, so now we all have it. It's like a little circle of three kind of thing, which I really like. It's on sale there right now. I think it is on online too, and it's $27, but there's like maybe 30 shadows in it. Apparently that's good. I think it's good. And I know Too Faced seem to be good quality, and I hear good things about them all the time. And yeah, it's really like colourful, and I've been wanting to get back into wearing makeup more often. I was talking to Annabelle about this because I love the way Annabelle looks, the way she dresses, her makeup. She looks awesome. Like she always looks great. Like every time she comes to work, it's like, that's a look. That's not like an accidental, like you really put that look together and it looks great. And on the day that we went out, she's wearing this like burgundy kind of purplish, I think velvet maybe, I don't really remember, suit that was just the pants and the jacket, and then like these white kind of glam rock type of boots. That really made me think of David Bowie, and then like the dark makeup, and she looked awesome. She always looks awesome. So we ended up talking about makeup a little bit, and just, you know, growing up and like what it was like for us growing up. And we actually liked very similar music growing up, which I found really interesting because I've never come across someone really in the wild, so to speak, who knows the bands that I used to listen to. Yeah, we had a lot of fun talking about that, but she was saying that, you know, she loves dressing up and doesn't really care what people think. And I was saying, oh yeah, it used to be like that, you know, like I was goth throughout my teens and just, like, super goth and really into it. Like, I loved like dramatic makeup, I loved really like dark makeup, I loved to dress up and wear like suits. For me, I've always loved suits. Like, I love wearing them. I haven't worn a suit in I don't even know how long, but I used to wear them a lot. And people wearing suits, so that's my number one thing. Like, if I see someone wearing a suit, like, and it's, yeah, just, it's my thing. I love suits. Honestly, you could just wear a blazer and, like, some nice pants, you know, or like a shirt. Oh, I'm not even gonna get into that because that's gonna be something else. But anyway, I really like the look of it, and I used to wear it a lot, and just I used to really dress up and just not care at all what people thought. And then I realized, like, as I've gotten older, I feel like I care more, or started to care more, what people thought. And I think I still don't, like, I don't know how much it plays into how I dress, because I still dress completely how I want to, I think. I don't know, maybe I need to do some kind of work on this. But I kind of feel like I've gotten to that point now where, like, I'm at the age where I would rather be comfortable than like stylish. So I'm like, if that looks good but it's really uncomfortable, I'm not gonna wear it. Like, I can't deal with it. And I have this, like, as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot more sensitive to, like, how fabric feels, and if it like, certain fabrics really, just, like, freak me out a little bit, like, sequins. I can't wear sequins, because the way it feels, they're too rough. And then, like, chiffon, is it chiffon? That, like, kind of slightly see-through material that, like, lots of shirts are made out of. See, Chelsea loves them, and I don't mind them on her. Like, she can wear them, and I can, like, hug her or whatever. I can touch them on her, and it doesn't bother me, but I can't wear them. Like, the fabric really freaks me out. Anyway, all that to say, I'm very picky about the way fabric feels and how comfortable clothes are, and if they're not comfortable, I can't deal with it. But I really miss dressing up, and I don't know. I guess I want to get more into, like, dressing up again. And wearing makeup again, because I used to wear makeup and, like, I loved it, and I love the expression you can have with makeup and how it can look so different and you can do such different things with it, and different you know, looks and it feels different and you can feel different and all of those kind of things. Like, I love that, like, playful, transformative kind of, almost like glamour magic too. So yeah, I got the eyeshadow palette. I got a lipstick called Out Loud, and it's by, who's it by? Hang on, let me grab it. One second. Smashbox. It is Out Loud liquid lipstick. That's all it says. It's a matte lipstick, which I don't know. It's a little dry, which I know mattes can be. I'm trying to figure out how to wear it and it not feel really dry, but maybe I just need to put lip balm on top. I don't know. If you like beauty or you like makeup and you're listening, what do I do with matte lipstick? Like, it looks really nice on and I love it, but it the dryness, like, I can only wear it for about half a day and then I'm like, okay, I've got to take this off. So yeah, it's like this brick red colour that I love. My favourite, or one of my favourite dresses, is also that colour. And I feel like it looks good on me and I really like it. So I was super excited to find that. It was kind of expensive. I'm not used to expensive. For one, I'm not used to makeup anymore. And for two, I'm not used to expensive makeup probably ever. Like, you know, last time I was buying makeup, it was like high street. Yeah, I'm not very experienced, but I love it, and I love watching other people do makeup too. Like, I like to watch makeup tutorials on YouTube, even though I don't have any of that stuff and I don't really know how to use it, but there's something so satisfying about watching someone else do it. And usually, like, Chelsea will do my eyeliner for me, and she does such a perfect cat eye that it's like unreal. She doesn't really wear a lot of makeup, but she does wear eyeliner like every day and it looks great. And I've gotten kind of spoiled because now she does mine too. So I'm used to like someone else doing it and then I don't have to do it. But I'm trying to get back more into doing it and not worrying if it's completely perfect, because I have a tremor in my hands and so my hands shake. Worse sometimes than others, but it kind of means that, like, putting on eyeliner and things can be difficult. And then my eyes are really blinky too, like, not just generally, but like trying to put makeup on, my eyes are like, whoa. So there's that as well. But all that to say, anyway, I'm trying to, like, encourage myself to get more into, like, playing with makeup and looks and things again, and clothes, and yeah, just trying to re-embrace that little bit of like playfulness. Like, I think I'm still playful with fashion, but I want to be more playful. What else was I gonna say? I feel like there was something else and it's just completely gone out of my head. Oh yeah, wearing makeup. So I got my hair cut a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if I talked about it on here or not. I think I did. Anyway, I have a bob now, and bangs, and I really like it, but it makes me look even younger than I did before, apparently. People keep telling me that I look like a little baby, and I didn't look particularly old before, so now I look younger, apparently. And, like, I don't mind that, I have a baby face naturally, but, like, I would like to be able to look older, I think. I like being able to look like an adult. You know, like, I don't mind this baby face, but sometimes I want to play with the baby face and make it look a little bit more, like, dramatic and things. So yeah. But I think that's everything I wanted to say about that. Last thing too, that I've been really enjoying is these nail wraps. So this goes to something about, like, the experience thing too. So a couple of weeks ago, Chelsea and Lily, who works with her, Lily had her floral convention, and she was graduating from her floral design course. So we went up there to go to her graduation and hang out and celebrate with her. And then we ended up staying at Lily's boyfriend's parents' house, or his, yeah. So then on the next day, they had some floral classes that they wanted to go to. It was going to be an all-day thing, and I'm not a florist, so, you know, I was like, okay, cool, I'll stay here. So I ended up hanging out at the house with Zane, is Lily's boyfriend, his parents, and it was so much fun. Oh my god, like, I had so much fun. We had such a good day. Like, we had such a good day chatting and talking, and we got to talk about spiritual things and experiences growing up, and, like, we had a lot of similarities in some ways that I didn't realize, and we got to do readings, and, it was just awesome. We watched a film, we ate food, it was great. Like, Stephanie, which is Zane's mom, I already knew that she was like an angel, because I'd met her before, and she's so sweet. She's like the ultimate mom. but I had not had much chance to get to talk to his stepdad, Craig. Or in America they say Craig, but in England we say Craig. So, sorry, Craig, like, I don't know, saying Craig feels really weird to me. Craig, it's like Graham. Like, in England we say Graham, but in America you say Graham, or Graham, I don't know. Again, feels weird. It's Graham in England, so it's Craig in England. Anyway, but, like, I hadn't gotten much chance to talk to him before, and, so, like, we got to chat, and we all got to talk and things, and it was super fun. Like, I had such an awesome day. I had so much fun. And then in the evening, Stephanie did my nails for me. She gets these nail wrap things. They're kind of like stickers that you put on your nails. And she did that for me. And it was super fun. I really liked it. And she actually sent me home with, like, a bunch of the ones that she had bought, which is just so kind. And I've been really enjoying doing them. So I'm on my third pair now. Pair? Yes, I have a pair of fingers. Just two. don't be... Anyway. So, she put some on for me that were peacock, and they were really glittery, and I really liked it. And then I did my next pair, I keep saying pair, it's not pair, pair of hands, I guess. And they were like this kind of like white, purple, and black mix, that had like an eye on the thumb and stuff, and it was really cool. And on one of the other fingers too, it was like silver. And I really enjoyed that. It didn't look great because it was my first time doing it on my own, and it was like I was trying to get the hang of it, but it was okay. And then now I'm on my third ones, which are purple ombre with like gold stars and little gold like shooting star lines, and they look so cool. Like, I've had them on since I think Saturday night or Sunday, and I can't stop looking at my nails because they look so neat. And they're super easy to do. I really like them because I used to do nail art a lot, but like I said before, I have a tremor in my hands, and so it can be quite hard to do precision work because my hands shake. So, like, trying to put nail polish on with a hand that's shaking, it's like, yeah, it's not easy. And so these are really cool because it's easier, like, my hands still shake, but it's just easier to put them on, and they're really easy to take off too, so it's not like difficult or anything to take off, and it's not time consuming really to put them on. Like, it takes maybe 10-20 minutes, you know, but you get quicker as you get used to it. And then they just like stick on, and they hold up really well. Like, they hold up well in the shower. I haven't had any issues, I haven't had any problems with them peeling off, or really chipping. Like, the very ends of a couple of them look a little bit like you can kind of just slightly see some chipping, but yeah, they've been on for a while. Don't know how many days, a while, and they still look awesome. Like, they hold up super well. And they are by Flamingo Lady Nails. That's the website, and she's also on Facebook. And yeah, she has like three lines of them. So there's the $1 nails, which are, they last, are supposed to last a couple of days, to a week. And then the regular or the original lineup, I think it's called, which are $3 each. And then there's a Luxe one that's gel nail polish, but I haven't tried those yet. that's lasts longer. And you can get them for your toes as well. Like, I did mine and Chelsea's toes, and they're both rainbow. So hers is, like, rainbow on the big toes, and then all red on the little, the other toes. And mine is rainbow on one big toe, and then a yellow with a smiley face on the other one, which I love. And then all the other nails are like different colours of the rainbow. And they've made me feel super cute, and they're really fun. Like, I'm really excited about it. Like, makeup and nails, and yeah, and I got new hair, and I just feel really good. So there's that also. And also they do free shipping when you spend over $10, which is super easy to do because they're just super fun. Yeah, really enjoying those. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for that. And yeah, just really excited to have gotten to spend time with friends and like get to know each other even more and like make new friends. And Craig does a podcast as well. He's part of a podcast, and I can't remember what it's called. I'm sorry, Craig. but it's on comic books and like nerd culture and things like that, which I'm really... I need to look it up, and I'll try and remember to put it next week. Yeah, so I'm excited about that because we got to talk about podcasting as well, like being self-employed and working from home and things. So yeah, it was just really fun to meet someone and like get to talk about that. And then the other thing that I really enjoyed recently was that I got to, like I mentioned before, I got to stay with my friend Tara and her boyfriend for a couple of days, and it was just so much fun. We had such a good time, and like every evening we would sit down and eat together around the table and just sit on the floor and talk and like laugh and have fun. And we ended up having some really good discussions about like theology and like Christianity and Buddhism and all this kind of, it was really interesting. And then on Saturday night, we, after work, we went out to a kava bar. Kava? K-A-V-A. It's like a kind of root that's powdered and then it becomes a drink. it was cool. Like, I didn't like the taste of it at all, but I'm kind of picky about drink tastes. But it was really... It's like, it's supposed to help with like anxiety and things too. Like, it makes you feel calmer. And it was fun to go, and we went, and this place was open till like midnight, and it's like a little, it's just a little bar, but with like, and then we went and sat on red cards and like listened to music, and they had awesome music. And Kayla, one of our new people at work, came, and her husband came, and their dog Wayne, which I love the name Wayne for a dog, came as well, and we were just having such a good time. I got to do a spirit guide reading for Kayla earlier in that day too, and that was like really awesome and really touching and sweet. So I'm really excited to work with Kayla, and just I'm just happy. Like, I feel really good that I have these awesome friends and that I get to have these people around me, and just feel really grateful for the shop. And I'm just happy. And then, let's see if there's anything else. I've gotten to hang out with my good friend Mag recently a lot too. He does Mad Max Curious Emporium. And I was on her podcast a couple of weeks ago. We're trying to get another one sorted out. Another episode, but we just have to do it. But yeah, I had a lot of fun hanging out with them too, and just good people, being surrounded by the good peeps and good feelings and just feeling happy. So I think that's everything that I want to talk about today. I'm always worried, I don't want to let it get too long, and it always seems to get to about an hour anyway. But I would love to hear what you're enjoying right now. What are you into right now? You know, what books are you liking? What decks? What anything? What are you enjoying? And so you know where you can find me. You can find me on Instagram, which is The Sacred Cocoon. Facebook, which is The Sacred Cocoon. Etsy, thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. And at the Four of Wands in Fayetteville on Fridays and Saturdays. I have a new reading up in the Etsy shop, actually, which is a pet reading. So it's like a pet psychic reading. I've done quite a few pet readings recently, and people seem to find them really helpful. And honestly, the pets seem to find them helpful too. So, you know, if you have a pet who's going through a hard time or something, you've just moved house, you've just added a new pet, you've just lost a family member, you know, whether a human or a pet, you know, your schedule changed, whatever it is, animals can be really sensitive to that. Sometimes they can seem depressed or sad or act out or be, you know, misbehaving, acting kind of odd. And a reading can really help with that, to get to the bottom of what's happening, what, you know, how are they feeling, what are they thinking, what do they want you to know, what can you do to help them. And from the feedback that I've gotten from clients in person, they've said that actually even just having the reading seems to have made their pet feel a lot calmer. One lady brought her dog into the store and I did the reading, and she just opened up. She was a super shy, really sweet dog. And she just, like, over the course of the reading, just really calmed down and opened up and was, like, I have a really cute picture of her licking me on the cheek. And my client messaged me later and said that, like, when she got home, she was calmer and happier than she had been in months. And that was after they had lost her sister, one of their other dogs. So, I love doing pet readings, and you definitely can read for pets. So if you have anything going on with a pet, you know, that service is there for you if you need it. There's lots of other readings too. I'm really trying to flesh out my shop again. I feel like it's gotten a little bit sparse, but I'm trying to think of, like, readings that people would enjoy, or ways that I can do things in different ways. So I'm going to be keeping on. But yes, you can find those on Etsy. Like I said, thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. Honestly, September has been a super quiet month for me. I haven't really had a lot of readings booked, and I don't fully know why that is. Because last month I was super, super busy. It happens. I think I want to do an episode on selling on Etsy at some point, actually. I think I'll do that, so I'm going to write that down for myself for a later date. Anyway, yes, sending you so much love. Hope you're having a wonderful day or night, as it is now. And I will be back with you next week. All right, bye.